Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey, Tom. So I just got done listening to the latest podcast, and I had a few thoughts on abortion because I don't think you guys are realizing how much it hurts people. I was aborted, and I had to grow up in an abortionage, and, like, I never had a parent, and it was rough on me, glory hole.
Hey guys, Jim here. I just finished listening to episode 240. You were talking about chaplains in the military. So just for your, you know, enlightenment, I'm a military officer and also an atheist. But the chaplains play kind of an important role. While the military does offer legit psychiatric help, those civilian psychiatrists and psychologists aren't deployed to war zones, so the chaplains can be deployed to war zones. And I know several of them who have, like you said, picked up a gun and gone to the front line. So that's one thing that's unique about the chaplains. Another thing that's unique about them is they have total anonymity. If you go and talk to a chaplain about something, they cannot divulge your conversation to anybody for any reason, with the only exception is if you go there to confess to a crime, then they can, you know, they have to report that out. Anyway, that's just a little bit about the chaplain, and, I'm not a chaplain, but, you know, whatever, just for your education. All right, thanks. Hey, guys, I love the podcast. Keep it up.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 242, the lost episode.
It's not lost.
We just found it. It's right here.
Yeah, and it's we're recording seconds after we stopped recording.
Recording
before.
Episode 241.
241. And we're putting all the rest of what wasn't in 241 in this one. And we're
this
calling
is like
it
the B sides and rarities. That's what it is.
No, it's B sides and oddities, is more like it.
Which is another way for a band to sell you the shit that they didn't want to buy in the first place, yeah. Right?
So we're not going to have an email section in this show because we just literally 30 seconds ago read you the emails to an email section. But we're without further ado, we're going to play you all of the stuff that we had last week.
We believe we're moving into a supernatural season where, if needed, God will multiply food. I have seen God multiply food more than one time when I was cooking. I mean, when my kids were little, they were always bringing their friends into the house. And I remember, you know, spooning out spaghetti or whatever, just praying in the spirit over that, and God just made more and more and more. You know, I've seen oil multiply as I was praying for the sick. I've seen bottles of oil just fill up, about a cup at a time of oil. Remember when we drove our car in Weatherford, the court? I mean, on one set of tires, we had, how many miles was it?
Way
beyond what could ever happen with one set of tires. I mean, I remember one time I had a pair of shoes that I wore and wore and wore and wore, and it just for years. These shoes did not wear out, and I wore them years and years and years. So, you know, sometimes God is saying little epiphanies to us, little things to us, mm-hmm. but we don't know how to listen to his voice.
Motherfucker, this story. This guy's back. It's from Yahoo, Canada's version. Whatever, it's not even on the internet. Let them eat snake. Prophet feeds reptile to followers, telling him it'll turn into chocolate. This is the same guy who told people to drink gasoline and it would taste like pineapple juice.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a this is members of the Prophet Penuel's End Times Disciples Ministries. This is in Pretoria, South Africa. This is the guy who he's on a mission just to see what the congregation will do. He's made them eat dirt and grass. Because he told him it was the fruit of the earth or something, and then they all went out and ate it, and so it was like, oh, it tastes delicious. He made him drink gasoline and then told him it was apple juice. It was going to taste like apple juice, and now he's just feeding them snakes. Here's some delicious snake chocolate.
they totally eat it, too. One point in the article, they're talking about how they chewed that shit up, and they were so surprised that it tasted, and I'm just thinking, that's the most disgusting thing I've read all day. Just
eating a fucking raw snake, fucking bones and guts. Because you know the guy didn't like.
Yeah, no.
You know, you can see from the picture.
It's rattlesnake sashimi. Are you kidding me?
But it's even worse than that, Cecil. It's even worse.
It's a live snake.
Because, like, that is a snake with its guts and the fucking poop still in its intestines and everything. It's not cleaned out.
Clean it out.
So it's not like, you know, if like you were like, eat a raw snake, you'd be like, I kind of don't want to get salmonella. And they'd be like, fucking eat a raw snake. You'd be like, oh, no, eat a raw snake's poop. I'm like, whoa, it'll taste like chocolate. No, that's.
Also, look. Snakes are disgusting. And to put a snake in your mouth is disgusting. Awful and disgusting.
You wouldn't eat a snake?
I would eat it like if it was cooked? Cleaned, but I'm talking about like the outside of it is disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. They just feel weird. I don't like the way they feel.
Like, can you imagine what the snail, or like the scales would be biting through those things?
Yeah, like trying to bite a fish with its scales on. It's
fucking chewy, and you're just like,
you ever clean a fish and get a scale in your mouth and you're spitting it out for a half an hour? Like, poop, and doesn't fucking leave? And then you're like, God, I got this fishy taste in my mouth for days.
I remember cleaning. My dad used to take us up to this fishing resort. Like, and resort is a strong term. Like, it's just. Like cabins in Minnesota surrounded by deer flies.
And there was a fucking rowboat there.
And like, yeah, right. Well, there really were. It was rowboats and like these little 5-horsepower engine boats that you just fucking putted around this lake. And we used to go there every year for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And there was a fish cleaning house. Do you ever go into one of those fucking abattoirs?
Oh, yeah.
And my dad would be like, we'd have like all these bluegill and crappie and shit. And he'd be fucking scaling. He's got the scaler and the fish are still flopping around. You remember doing that shit? I remember that as a kid. My daddy'd be like, I don't even feel it. That fucking thing is, it's like you're abrading the skin off a live animal. It's flopping around. My dad's like, I don't feel it. Scales are flying in every direction. The place smells like fucking hot summer death. It is the most horrifying place. I remember, and there's just like a fucking, like a slush bucket full of like fish guts buzzing with flies. Oh my God. That shit was fucking outrageous. My dad would be like, I don't know why you don't like fishing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you fucking high? You don't know why I don't like this. It is the most disgusting pastime you can possibly engage in.
Yeah, you're just fucking, it's a bucket of guts. It smells awful. It's the worst. Yeah, this guy, though, he's able to convince people that they're chocolate. Like, that's the one thing, is that he's telling these people it's pineapple juice or it's fucking sweet honey or whatever,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And they're delusional enough to believe him.
Yeah, well, and it's so funny, too, because, like, not only delude, but they defend it.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, yeah, fucking, I ate that snake. And the one guy's, like, only half convinced. Because he says, like, I ate it, and it was a little weird, but it was good.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, man.
He said, I did what I was commanded, and I tasted the chocolate. It was different, but it tasted good. And then later he said, my anaconda don't want none unless you got ganache, son.
Oh, man. It's like the most, it's like the most horrifying caramello. You know?
Like, you bite, you're like, it'd be awesome. You're in the desert and you hear the rattling and it's like, and then you hit it with a snake and caramel pours out. You hit it with a stick and the caramel just pours out of the snake. I would eat a fucking snake if it was filled with caramel. Are you kidding
Dude,
me?
Dude, are you fucking
are
kidding
you
me?
Are you kidding me?
I would eat that aforementioned bucket of fish guts if it was fucking, if there was even caramel on top of it.
If they just threw a wrapper to a caramello in there, I would eat it all. You kidding me?
If there was a receipt from a store where somebody once bought a caramello, I would probably eat it.
Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allahu Akbar, just little Allah. Thank you, Chicago.
Sister, it comes from observers.france24.com. Saudi religious police target gay rainbows. So the Saudi have those fucking morality police that just like run around Saudi Arabia getting their fucking panties in a twist about whatever fucking works them up on any given day. And then after the Supreme Court decision, for some reason, they just decided that everywhere they saw rainbows was an affront to Allah.
Yeah.
And they repainted shit like boring, unhappy colors. Yeah.
Well, I think it's funny that they target gay rainbows. What happens when they target a straight rainbow by accident?
Yeah, then what it's all hell's then? Breaking loose, yeah. Right?
Well, I guess you can't have a straight rainbow since it's a bow. It's sort of like it's always going to be curved no matter what you do. Now, we've got to trust that these things are correct here and that these are the correct translations. Because we don't know, right? You just don't know what this is.
But sure,
we got to trust that this is what it says. But it says, I'm going to read this tweet. It says, the commission, the municipality, and the emirate removed the symbol and imposed a fine of 100,000 rials, which I guess is like 25,000 euros or something.
That's a lot of dough, dude.
Yeah, to a foreign school which had put the symbol of homosexuals on the building facade. So they put a rainbow on the top, they made them paint it, and then they charged them 100,000 of those things, which is 25,000 euros. Not euros. Not 25,000 euros, which is a totally different system of payment.
That'd be a delicious system of payment, though.
You know, you got to have a big freezer, because I'm only going to be able to get through about maybe 20,000 of those in one day, and like
right,
5,000
yeah.
were just going to yeah. go bad, and that sucks.
Plus, it's weird carrying them around in your wallet, you know? Like,
and you know how bad it is when you eat one and you stink all day? Could you imagine eating more than one?
Like, plus, like, you know, they'd be butt euro, you know, because they're around in your back pocket. You got a back pocket leaking full of tzatziki sauce everywhere, just like running down your leg.
It's funny because somebody was tweeting at them saying that at other places, there's rainbows all over. There's rainbows on women's outfits. There's rainbows on this, all these like little things that they have for kids. And they're basically saying, you know, why don't you go after those things too? Because kids, turns out, like colorful things.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? Like, you know, rainbows, a naturally occurring phenomenon. Like, that's not something new. That, yes, you know, the homosexual community may have appropriated rainbow as part of their flag, but you can't take rainbows away. Like, how unhappy do you have to be?
And how many colors are a rainbow? Does it have to be all the Roy G. Biv colors, or can it just be like four colors and you have to cover it up?
Yeah, like what if you're just like Roy?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, what if you're abbreviating that day? You know, you're just, it's ridiculous. These guys run around, man, like, this is a joyless existence. It's like they're running around looking for people to be happy and finding ways to make them unhappy. It's kind of absolutely insane.
Well, yeah, absolutely, Tom. They're anti-gay.
Yeah, right. So, it's just a place run by power-hungry lunatics. My God, they still have a king. They have a king in 2015, Cecil. Are you kidding? A king? You may as well have like a fucking unicorn write your laws. A king?
Unicorns if there's no rainbows, Tom. I'm sorry.
I can't imagine somebody being like, well, we have to talk to the king and find out. Like, oh, okay, well, why don't we all just go back in time or like fucking go to medieval times dinner and tournaments and find out who's in charge?
You gotta like hold one of those perfumed hankies over your mouth when you talk to him.
Like, oh, hang on, I've got a bad case of fucking black death because it's all of a sudden the fucking 13th century.
I would talk to you directly, but my humors are out of line.
It's a ridiculous. A king? An actual king in 2015.
Yeah.
It's insane. You gotta lower a fucking drawbridge to get into places. It's a fucking murder hole.
It's a moat.
Where is the portcullis?
Yeah, there's a moat.
What's a
trebuchets?
It's a moat filled with alligators that breathe fire. I mean, it's like a child's fantasy over there. It really seems to me like a country almost run as crazily as North Korea, but they have oil, so they get away with it. It's like it's crazy, as crazily run as North Korea. It's like that boy from that Twilight Zone.
Yeah, they're all like putting people in the cornfield. No, right. I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you always wanted to win the lottery? Do you suffer from chronic poverty syndrome? Do you have real problems that are too much work to actually work on? Would you rather pretend to help than actually help? Prayer might be right for you.
So this comes from Fox 8. Woman says praying behind the wheel caused the crash that injured grandmother. So this happened in Bellevue, Ohio. So a woman got a broken neck and was all fucked up. And the driver, they thought she was on her cell phone, but when they checked if she was on her cell phone, she wasn't. What she was on was prayer.
Yeah.
She put her head down while she was driving.
Wait, no, hold on a second. Praying without bowing your head is like putting a fucking letter in a mailbox without a stamp, Tom. You gotta fucking bow your head. Be ridiculous.
Yeah, you're not hoping with the right head attitude. Yeah,
hey, y'all, I'm not gonna listen if you're not gonna put your head down. No way I'm gonna listen to y'all.
Who would do that? Close your eyes and pray? Bow your head while you're driving a car! A car, Cecil!
Well, she said, Jesus, take the wheel, but she didn't realize he only had his learner's permit.
And then they said, like later in the article, when they told him about the defense, that Darrell. Are you fucking kidding me? That's like, it's somebody's too fucking lazy to spell the whole Darrell. That's it. Oh, let's fucking name him Darrell. Let's just name him fucking slurred drunk Darrell. That's what we're going to call him.
No, he's named by Sling Blade.
Darrell. I got me a son named Darrell. Reagan. Right. Darrell Peckham.
So Darrell Beckham said that they don't believe it. Because they said that I don't believe that for a second because church going people are better people than that. Well, I actually don't even understand that. Like,
I would believe that. I believe that, you know, it's praying. It's either that or she fell asleep and she doesn't want to say she fell asleep. Right.
Yeah. I don't want to say I fucking nodded off.
Right. That's what I think.
But why would you say it was praying, though?
I don't know.
Does that somehow mitigate the broken neck of the I'm super sorry. Can you imagine like, oh, fuck. How's your neck? Oh, it hurts super bad because I broke it in a car accident. And I think you were the one that hit me. Yeah, I was, but I was praying. Oh, I feel so much better knowing that.
That's fine now.
God, I'm not even mad anymore.
You old lug.
Well, as long as you weren't sleeping, then my neck would really hurt.
Yeah, I think...
Hang on a minute, I'm going to twitch a finger.
This person probably, you know, they dropped their something, you know what I mean? Like they got distracted some way and they're just using it as a way to get out of the, because, you know, blaming something on being religious can sometimes get you out of it. And I think this is their strategy. It's the one thing they can say, you know, I wasn't fucking off. I was being responsible because I was praying to an imaginary thing.
It seems like throwing God under the bus. Like, right? You're like, fucking don't blame me. I was praying.
Well, I was under the bus because the person was praying when they were driving. That's why I was under the bus.
Y'all, you know, y'all fucking invented these machines. I don't know how they work.
Wrote my whole damn book 2,000 years ago. Y'all got around on donkeys. Much easier to keep track, y'all.
I was trying to put my bike on the front of the bus, and then he just kept going. I didn't understand.
I got done smushed. Darl.
Darl.
Where you at, Darl?
Darl.
Some calls it a Darl blade. Biscuits and Darl.
I like them corn grits.
Because there's nothing but death and refuse in the rectum. No life can come out of the rectum. The rectum is designed to get rid of death and waste. It's designed for that one purpose. And the sodomites are cheering on and praising the rectum.
This story comes from The Advocate. Oh, no, it's not The Advocate. Sorry.
It's just Advocate.
Advocate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be anyone.
Literally any advocate.
Any advocate. Canadian professor fired for anti-gay Facebook post. Here's his Facebook post. Quote,
it's pretty anti-gay, I have to admit.
It's the queers they should be hanging, not the flag.
Okay, that's hard to mistake as anything other than anti-gay, I think.
Yeah, and it's not like, this wasn't even like hidden somewhere in the comments section. It appears that he shared a news story.
And that was his commentary on the news story.
I threw that one on there like, yeah. Oh, wait, just, you know, I'm going to go ahead and share this. Because you can, here's the other thing. You can tell what somebody's fucking political leanings are by the news stories they choose to share.
Yeah.
So it's not like anybody probably would have mistaken this gentleman as someone of tolerance. But it's nice that he came right out. And let everybody know. Hang on a minute. I'm going to share this story.
Of course it's nice, Tom. He's Canadian.
Right. It's very polite.
Yeah, well, they need to call the politeness police on this guy.
Right.
I mean, if you're Canadian, he's breaking several laws. They're going to show up and be like, well, that's a nice crate of maple syrup you got there, eh? Be a real shame if something were to happen to it. This is a ridiculous. But the one thing I want, the reason I think we should talk about this.
Yep.
Is because his next post is he got called into his school. He's a professor at a college, a business professor, not an ethics professor, guys.
I was going to say, was it business ethics?
Yeah. And it says, and the Facebook page post says, I have to go get off Facebook for a while. I've been called into work and told to bring a representative for my comments on Facebook. And then it says, please pray for me and my job. And clearly the prayers didn't answer, probably because they didn't have their head bowed. So he got fired and he got fired. And what I want to talk about is we talked about with Thomas on his show. If you missed Thomas's show, it was Atheistically Speaking. It's the second one, not the first one. The second one is about professors and when people say stupid shit. And we talked a little bit about academic freedom in that. And the thing is I think that I'm on the side of the people here because this is clearly hate speech. You know what I mean? Like it's not saying I don't like gay people. It's saying they should die.
Yeah, this isn't academic at all. He's not espousing an intellectual position.
Sure. It's not like he's doing a research paper on how to hang a gay person.
Right. This isn't even like, you know, this isn't even something like let's write a paper about whether or not the Holocaust happened, right? That might be riding that boundary. But if you were to like write some paper about that, then that's at least under the guise or at least under the mantle of academic freedom, perhaps, or at least a conversation could be had about whether something like that is or should be protected. But something like this is just being, I mean, imagine if he had written the same thing about, you know, any minority group, like we should just hang women. Like what the fucking, what are you talking about? What this is, there's no intellectual merit to something like this. Because I saw the same thing and I was like, well, you know, because I was hearkening back to our conversation for just a second. I was like, well, should he be fired for this? I mean, it's a private comment made on a, you know, his personal social media page. And we kind of talked around that. But, you know, the thing is, like, once you individually let the cat out of the bag by posting something to your fucking Facebook page, if your employer finds out about it, how can they continue to employ you? How can they responsibly continue to employ you?
Universities should be sort of a bastion of knowledge and figuring out, you know, and there should be that sort of unfettered search of knowledge that shouldn't be influenced by you know, anything on the outside. It should be right. For itself. You know, the pursuit of it is for itself. It's for its own good. But at the same time, a college is a business. They're trying to get students there. And if you have a choice to go to a college that has a business professor that's not an anti-gay freak and somebody who, you know, is an anti-gay freak, you're probably, I think most people, since most people seem to be okay with gay people, they would go to the one where there isn't a guy who's shouting fucking rage-filled shit at a minority class.
Right, specifically about, like, how it would be a better solution to murder people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's no
even if it's just
no
hyperbole, it's shit. You know what right. I mean? It's like you're being an asshole.
And you know, a lot of employers now, and I would imagine that most universities or colleges have some kind of code of conduct or ethics standards
yeah.
that covers what you can do on your personal page. I know that like our company has a code of conduct or something in our employee manual.
Yeah.
That says, like, I can't go on and talk about, you know, the place that I work at, for example, and say crazy shit. And, like,
yeah.
I'm expected to always...
Yep, same thing, you know, at my work. There's a code of conduct for the social media.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
So this story is a great story, but we're gonna make two apologies relevant to it. So the first is that it comes from the Daily Mail. I know, the Daily Mail. And the second is that it's from 2014, August of 2014 to be specific, but it's just too good for us not to talk about. So here is, in typical Daily Mail fashion, these
everything
are the headlines
you need to know.
Yeah.
Literally all you need to know about this. I'm going to go get a glass of water. You go ahead and just read it, okay?
Okay,
it's going to take you
yeah.
that long.
Yeah, you're going to drink it like a fucking puppet, dude, like a ventriloquist while
yeah,
you go.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You go ahead. I'm going to go.
It's okay for a man to hide and watch the woman bathe. Egyptian cleric permits voyeurism if the male's intentions are pure. Salafist preacher Usama al-Khawasi offers surprising fatwa during sermon. It appears to run counter to traditional Muslim teachings on modesty. Egypt's religions minister moves
okay, I'm
quickly
back. Did I...
to condemn the shock edict. No, we're still going.
Okay,
still,
all right.
Still
okay, I didn't
through.
Miss anything? Okay, good.
Yeah, no,
right.
you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine. So this is great because this guy's like, yeah, look, it would be super weird if you were just looking at girls in the shower.
That'd be
without
so weird.
Pure intentions.
So weird.
But if you've got pure intentions, like you want to see her naked, then it's cool. It's totally cool.
I've been telling girls that for a long time. Been like, baby, my intentions are good. Don't let me be misunderstood. Come on now. I've been saying that for a long time. It doesn't work, okay? I don't
care. What
about
if you put it in song form? That might help you out.
I'm just a soul. I could start that way instead
right?
next time.
Just, you know, put a little poetry
I
into
could,
it.
Yeah.
You know?
Just maybe like a little bluesy and we'll see
yeah,
what happens.
There you go.
Yeah. Can I just say real quick before we get into this picture, the lowest picture down here, the farthest one down. He looks like he has a tiny little arm.
It's all weird stretched out, I think.
It's such a weird, he's holding his arm up, but he's wearing like a muumuu, so you can't see his whole arm. So it looks like he reminds me of this guy, his name's Tim Conway, who's on the Carol Burnett show, and he's like do all kinds of other stuff. And he used to do this thing called Dorf where he would fold his knees underneath him, and then he would put little shoes as his knees, so he would look like he'd have a regular torso, but tiny little legs.
Yeah,
and then he would like
that.
Swing the club, and he would fall backwards, and then lean back up, and he would always act drunk. This reminds me of that for some reason. It's like this, somebody should do a thing where a guy has tiny little short arms, and he does his little, I don't know, gets crazy, goes crazy Islamic on people. I think that would be amazing because this looks so funny. I just couldn't. I saw the picture today and I just laughed until I cried. It looks so amazing.
Do you ever see the videos of like the people who have like people hands, but like the dog's head and they're under a thing and
yes.
they're feeding the dog? It kind of looks like that.
It does.
It kind of looks like the like
looks
the
like somebody,
hands.
Yeah, somebody else's arm is under his
right.
robe. You know, maybe there's one of these naked women under his robe.
It's possible.
And he's just hiding her under there so he could stare at her purely.
Right. It's pure intentions.
Pure whatever. Pure intentions. Yeah. That
so
sounds like a shampoo. Pure intentions.
Pure intentions.
Yeah. She's
yeah, it
using
has, like,
pure
the same
intentions shampoo.
Pure Intentions from Herbal Ecstasy or whatever, so it's still just the orgasm commercials.
Yeah, basically the guy's like, yeah, you can look at her as long as you plan to marry her.
Yeah, well, you know.
And even still, I don't think he says that kind, because he says you can look at her if you want to sort of judge if you want to marry her.
Right. So what he says, and what's interesting to me is that he bases this. So these Salafist guys are evidently like an offshoot of, and a little bit of a controversial offshoot. And so they're saying basically, like, look, everything we do should come from what the Prophet did, right? So we should stick as closely to that as possible. And so he says, you know, one of the Prophet's companions did that. Some disapproved, and they told him, how do you do that when you're one of the Prophet's companions? And the Prophet answered, if you can see something that would make you want to marry her, then go ahead and do it. So it's not like he has no religious basis for this. It seems to be fucking settled. It's fucking asked and answered in the fucking story that he's relaying.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, and nothing, can you imagine, like, you know, it's your first night together. You know, you don't know each other. You've never seen her jawline. Well, at least she has never exposed her jawline knowingly to you, right?
Right, right.
You're about to take off the fucking 43 layers of fucking Tootsie Roll wrapper to finally get to the gooey center of whatever your bride really looks like. And she's nervous, and you just got to calm and say, look, it's okay. I've already peeped on you in the shower.
And then she's suddenly relieved.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And then she just starts pulling off layer after layer after
Russian
layer.
Russian nesting doll of layers, right?
And it turns out that she's actually a little person underneath all of
that. Which is fine, because you knew that.
You
and
knew
that's what
it,
you're into.
You knew ahead of time.
Right. You're like, it's cool. I knew you were 2.5 feet tall. That's what I was looking for. It's fine. Don't worry.
High five. Okay, low five.
Low five. Oh,
want to contact the guys? Go to DissonancePod.com to get links to their Google+, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. If you want to contact them directly, send an email to dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Do you want to support the show? Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/dissonancepod. Or click the link on the podcast homepage, and you can donate to the production of Cognitive Dissonance on a per-episode basis. If you can't spare any money, take a second to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, or spread the word about the show. We want to send a big, heartfelt glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
This is just awesome. This is from Newsweek. Inside the Pluto Truther Movement, which claims the flyby was faked. I don't have a lot here, Cecil. I'm just... people will just decide to be fucking truthers about anything. Anything. Pluto? They're just like, yeah, we faked the Pluto thing. What? Why?
That's the thing is, I understand, you know, the having a level of skepticism, right? I understand what that comes from. But there's two major parts of this. One is motive, right? Why would there be why would they fake it? And then two, and one of his terms, one of the things that this person says, and I don't want to say it's a him or a her, it's a person that they don't want to give their name. And it's sort of an interview with this person who is a truther, a Pluto truther, who wants to find out that it wants people to know that it doesn't look like we flew past Pluto, basically, is what they're saying. And their motive that they say is that they want the money. But, you know, if you just do the mission, you get the money. If you don't do the mission and you pretend to do the mission, that seems like a lot of work just to get not a lot of money.
Wait, and why so that NASA can get the money?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Like, NASA's
that's
getting
so
the
weird.
And then the other thing, too, is there's a lot of people in the room. I don't know if you saw the day that they released some of the photos. There was images of them in the room seeing it for the first time.
No.
And they pan across the room, and there had to be around this conference, just one conference table. I'm sure that's not the entirety of who was involved in this project. I want to say there was 30 people in the room. Are you saying that we've got 30 people that are involved in this conspiracy just right there,
right,
not including all the rest of the people involved in it? I mean, how many people deep is this conspiracy run? And do you expect for the tiny amount of money that they made, was it, what was the total amount? It was a billion, couple billion, something like that for this? Was it that much money even?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me take a look real quick. It's
oh, gosh, I was way off. 700 million.
But here's the thing. Like, they still, we know that they launched a rocket. You can't fake that. When the rocket went up with the probe or whatever on it, it was, I mean, so in order to affect this farce, and like, you still have to, like, launch a rocket into space. You're blowing some of that money. You're not keeping the whole 700. So it starts off as like, oh, 700 million. Well, no, you still have to launch a rocket into space. And then what is the, even if the rocket doesn't do anything, except for just go into space and you just keep flying into the whatever, into the void. And then you have all the you know, the images, and then you've got to pay for these 30 people, right? These 30 people, then, like, do they all split the difference? Like pirate treasure or something? Like, yarr! They're like modern-day NASA pirates. Like, we'll affect the greatest Pluto farce on the public, and then we'll split the treasure, which will be 700 million minus the cost to blast a rocket into outer space for no reason. So about a couple million apiece. Yarr!
It's enough really? To buy a couple parrots for you.
Yeah.
And a it's new just, peg leg. And an eye patch.
It's just such a weird... And it's just one guy. Like, let's be clear, too.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The Pluto Truther thing is one dude.
And it could be a joke, too, right?
Yeah, it very well could.
Yeah.
Like, because he doesn't seem... Like, the guy does not seem credible at all. I mean, I read this and I'm just like, yeah... Because even when they ask him, like, what do you think... When they ask him in this thing, like, what do you think the U.S. government has to gain by faking the flyby? He says... Maybe the truth is that NASA cannot do as much as we've been led to believe. But it's like, stop and think about that for a second. NASA's the one that led us to believe that they could go to Pluto. If they couldn't go to Pluto, all they would have to do to dispel that notion would be never to tell people that we were going to Pluto. I don't think we would have brought it up. It'd be like if I said, like, well, fucking Tom can jump over the moon. Like, well, prove it. Oh, I can't jump over the moon. Now I have to fake jumping over the moon. Well, I could have just... Never told you that outrageous lie to start with.
Yeah, and it says here, I'm reading a bit here, and it's saying that the New Horizons has 200 people that are on the project now, about 200 people on the project today, but there have been thousands of scientists and engineers who have contributed to the mission since it began. So, I mean, are they all being compensated? Because let's say just like 2,000 of them. You're looking at, you know, what is that, 350,000 a piece. I mean, isn't that, and they're talking about years and years of service to do this.
Right?
You know, it's like, doesn't this make is any the longest sense. Con I've ever heard.
God.
You might as well, you know, you might as well just get a job doing it.
It just seems like so much work.
If you're just going to pretend, you might as well just get a job
and then
do the work.
When you finally do it, Cecil, you release images of Pluto that run counter or contrary to all of our theories about what we would see.
Right, right.
So as to garner the most possible
exactly.
attention.
Exactly.
Like, wouldn't it be better if they're like, yeah, we thought it was just a fucking cold, lifeless crater.
And then they have a flyby and they show, like, Frosty the Snowman sitting on it. They just take, like, a close-up picture of, like, a fourth-grade class snowflake.
Like, they've got, like, all, like, the paper cutouts that are strung together.
Yeah, it's like glitter and glue and construction paper, and that's what they're trying to pass off at
it. It should just be, like, a picture of the Earth.
Yeah.
And then, like, but it's got, like Earth has arms, and it's, like, got a coat, and it's like, brr, I'm Pluto!
I don't understand why we have to build a ray gun to aim at a planet I never even heard of.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
Go!
This is from Right Wing Watch. Michael Savage. Civil War is the only thing that could save us. It's amazing. So this is from his radio show.
Savage Nation. This is his little rant. Now, I want to mention that we listened to this earlier. He's clearly talking about, at least Right Wing Watch says that he's talking about the shooting of the military service members in Chattanooga last week. And that's what the idea is. But you don't hear that in this clip. So that's what Right Wing Watch is saying he's talking about.
I don't know what it's going to take for this country to change. I do know what it's going to take. It's going to take the big one. It's going to take the big one, and I mark my words, if God forbid the big one comes.
Is it, You remember that show, that Sanford and Son? He's like, it's the big one. I'm coming. It was Elizabeth. I think it was Elizabeth. I'm coming, Elizabeth. And he'd like grab his chest. Like, that's the big one, I guess. It's going to take us all having a heart attack.
We're all going to have a national heart attack at the same time. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like, fucking America's not, you know, I mean, it's fucking, this is the land of Oreos. I mean, fucking deep fried Oreos.
Sure.
Like a dirty bomb or something horrible like that. You're going to wait and see what the media says. We provoked it. We shouldn't have been in Afghanistan. We're not sensitive to Muslims. What do we do to offend them?
Like, you know, if something like a terrorist attack happens and you don't bother to answer the question why.
Right.
Then you're a fucking tool. If all you do is just react without ever trying to question why did this. I remember after 9/11 happened, I had no sense, Cecil, of international politics at all. I mean, not that I necessarily do now, but I mean, none whatsoever.
Sure, you didn't know fuck all.
Man, and I remember asking a guy that I worked with, I'm like, I have literally no idea why this happened. Why would somebody do this? It fucking flabbergasted me. And I had to look it up and figure out why and find out, you know, because people don't act without provocation. Now, the question is whether or not the provocations are legitimate.
Yeah.
But we all act with what we perceive as provocation. So this idea that you would be like, well, fucking something terrible happened. Let's not figure out why. Fucking that's an awesome way to not understand the world.
Yeah. And to be clear, even if you pay attention to that provocation, that's not a justification for anything that happened.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Yeah, right.
So just want to cut that off at the pass so we're not getting...
Oh, God, we get a fucking million emails.
Yeah. We have to reach out. That's the end of the road. There'll be a civil war. And by the way, it'll be overdue.
Wait, it'll be overdue?
An overdue civil war. It's kind of like an overdue book from the library, you know, except for
brother has to kill brother.
You're like, oh, is there an amnesty for my over? Can I bring in canned goods? No, it's fucking civil war. Oh, fuck, really? Super sucks because when I had an overdue book, it was not that big. Yeah, it's a real big deal. Civil war, an overdue civil war. As if you need to have one every once in a while to like clean the system out.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a detox. You need a civil war.
Like your country is like, you take your country to the fucking like country mechanic, and they're like, oh, it looks like you're a little overdue for a civil war. You got a little gunk in the system. You got a little homosexuality up north. You got a bunch of Bible thumpers down south. You look somewhat overdue. There's your problem.
That's the only thing that could save us. I prayed that we stop the coming civil war, but this government is pushing the people beyond, let's say beyond the beyond.
Beyond the beyond. What's back there? Oh, no, it's beyond. No, fucking beyond that. Oh, it's the other beyond.
That's the double beyond. It's like a double beyond study. Mirror. Yeah.
Nobody can take this anymore. In plain sight, they are at war with us by enabling the enemies of our very survival to thrive while repressing those of us who can see with our open eyes what has been done with this infiltration of all the intelligence agencies and every avenue of the media, with rare exception. Boy, this is a heavy-duty day.
What is he talking about? Where are we at war? It's a heavy-duty day. Oh, man.
We're at war, dude. It's a civil war that's going to start right now.
Whoever side gets the military wins immediately. It's not fucking 1840, dude. It's not how that shit works. People are going to send us fucking email. 1840 wasn't a civil war. Okay, fine. But it doesn't, you guys, you can't have a civil war right now. How would it work?
Yeah,
how would it even work? But
the only way.
My state, like my National Guard versus your National Guard?
No, because the federal government will just come in and just own whoever. I don't care who you are.
That's what I mean. It's like whoever gets the federal government wins immediately.
It's hyperbole because he wants to motivate his group of people to do the things he wants them to do, which is like vote against this person and constantly put down all the policies of this particular government. There's no fucking tether to reality in anything he said.
You're all sick.
Oh, be nice.
Oh, my son doesn't stand a chance. The whole world's gone gay. Oh, my God, what's happening now?
We work hard. We play hard.
So this story comes from Right Wing Watch. Brian Fisher, Obama's legacy will be the exportation of sexual deviancy. I can't even say that.
Man. Well, here's our BF, Brian Fisher.
Love the man.
On his radio program, and it is on from YouTube from Right Wing Watch.
You know, the Kenyans, the pastors in Kenya have been saying, look, don't you bring your homosexual talk here. If you're going to come over here and talk about homosexuality, pack it up and go home.
Don't you bring that homo talk up in here.
It's so funny. It's already wrong because, like, the people, I was listening to something on NPR and they were like, all of the news coverage is all about Obama's visit. They're fucking so excited. They're like crazy. They're calling it Obama fever.
We don't want to hear it. You know, homosexuality is still against the law in Kenya. 14 years prison time if you're caught in the act. It's a criminal offense in Kenya, as it used to be everywhere in the United States of America from the time of our founding until 1962. All 50 states, it was a felony offense, still a felony offense in 49 states until 1972. And Antonin Scalia said it was still against the law in 24 states in 2003 with the Lawrence v. Texas ruling. So the Kenya pastor said, look, stay out of our business. Stay out of our life. We've got values here as a nation.
Look, we have values here as a nation. We want to take people who are doing a consensual sex act and put them in jail for 14 years. Can't you just butt out?
Right. Why would you raise your opinion on that? Like, well, look, all we're doing is systematically oppressing people for who they are. What the fuck? I mean, listen, you come over to my country and then you just tell me, oh, you're, you know, I mean, you didn't treat South Africa that way during apartheid. Fuck. Oh, wait. No, I guess that.
Yeah, I guess kind of did, didn't we?
Oh, huh. All right. Well, fair enough.
President Obama Ridiculous. Blowing all that off. I'm going to bring my message of I'm going to advance the case, a cause of homosexuality. In fact, I would suggest to you.
You know, if you're going to suggest something to me, Brian Fisher, is there any way you can reiterate it three or four times? Let's just see. I just want to see if you can just suggest it first and then reiterate it. So let's see if you can do that.
That President Obama's legacy is going to be that he has done more to export sexual deviancy than any American in the history of the Republic. That's going to be his legacy. This will be the man that exported sexual deviancy, that made the exportation of sexual deviancy the most dangerous product that the United States ever shipped overseas. It's going to be President Obama's legacy. So he's going to plow right over.
How many
over.
Times can you say the same thing over and over again?
I love the idea that of all the things that the United States exports, the most dangerous thing we export is sexual deviancy.
It's certainly not cruise missiles, Tom.
I was going to say, it's not the you know, weapon systems that we sell all across the world. It's not you know, the aircraft. It's not. What do we export recently to Iraq? Oh, yeah, look, misery and death. Oh,
sure,
at least it wasn't sexual deviancy.
All of those requests that he leave that topic alone, let us figure that out. He's not going to do that. He's going to go over there and he's going to push the normalization of homosexual behavior on the Kenyan people.
That's a group of people that listen to Brian Fisher and his ilk, right? That group and other groups, there's other places all over that area, right? Like that are in Africa.
Sure.
That got that basic idea from the far right wing anti-gay pastors in the United States, and they keep pushing it. And these people are upset. They're mad that they're going to, that other people would want to influence these people to show them that that's a bad idea, that hurting people in your nation when they are doing nothing that is wrong, that's a bad idea.
Well, you know, the evangelicals have worked awfully hard to spread their message across Africa. They really have looked at Africa very unabashedly, looked at Africa for years now, you know, as kind of the next frontier for their message. And so they send their fucking mission groups and their evangelical nuts over there, and they've successfully, I mean, look at what they've done in Uganda. I mean, they've very successfully been, you know, influential in the politics in huge swaths of Africa and West Africa. And And now, you know, it's like, wait a minute. I mean, we were conquering. I guess I sort of get this impression that they're like, wait, we were conquering Africa. Like, we were conquering Africa for our regressive, ridiculous social policies. And now here you are, like, working against us. So we put our flag in here? Like, this is our, we're the white people in charge. Now there's other people in charge? Outrageous.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
So this story comes from Business Insider. San Francisco techies are hiring this wicked witch to protect their computers from viruses and offices from evil spirits.
I want to play this commercial because she has a commercial embedded in this. This is from Business Insider. And this is this person, Joey Talley, Reverend Joey Talley. And she has a commercial. It's only 40 seconds long.
Hi, my name's Reverend Joey Talley, and I'm a minister of the Wicca Way. I offer tarot readings, aura readings, private consultation, and custom spell work.
None of that fucking cookie cutter corporate spell work. This is custom spell work.
It sounds like the fucking Ghostbuster commercial from the Ghostbusters movie. Where he goes like, do you have ghosts in your fucking house or whatever?
Right?
Like, it totally is the best. Oh.
No problem too big, too small, or too weird for the Wicca Way.
Isn't that right from the Ghostbusters commercial? I gotta look up the Ghostbusters.
It sure commercial. Sounds like
Are
it.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night?
Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic?
Have you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go, Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
It's less ridiculous.
It sounds the same, man.
I solve problems. People come to me with all kinds of goals, situations, difficulties, and I give them a tarot reading and an aura reading, and from all of this information I can create spells, charms, potions, whatever they need, reading lists, referrals, depending on the situation.
Reading lists? You get homework?
Get a reading list.
You get a reading list. I went to the fucking witch and she told me to read a book.
I wanted her to cut off some of her fucking hair, put a toenail and some spit in a jar.
She's like, fucking read a book. She suggested Demon Haunted World and swiped my credit card.
Oh, gosh. Every time I see people like this, I always think of that that bad Kevin Costner movie when he's fucking he's Robin Hood. And there's that witch who, like, spits and, like, cuts herself. She's got those long-ass nails, and she's rubbing her nails through blood and spit. And I'm just like, that is just the same thing as what these fucking people are doing. Rubbing your dirty fingernails through blood and spit and telling me it's gold, you know?
Well, and she looks witchy.
Yeah, she's leaning back. She's got that hat is not pointed. It's rounded. But it certainly has the brim of the witch hat.
Yeah, she's got like the dark straight hair that's long and falling to the side, and
sure,
a giant brimmed hat.
She's got a sort of pronounced nose,
right?
Yeah, a high waisted dress. Like she's sort of playing right into.
She
the
looks
part
super
here.
Witchy, man.
She does.
It's so funny.
She does. But in this article, what they're talking about is hiring these witches to cast spells on their computers to stop them from getting viruses. And, like, also calling them in for, like, technology work. And the first thing I thought is, like, aren't these people supposed to be really smart?
Well, Cecil, it also says that tech experts, it specifically says that techies, people from the tech industry, are calling these witches. No, that is not true. Why would you, it doesn't, no one who is, I can see some credulous fucking goofball dipshit who doesn't understand what a computer is and thinks it's a fucking ghost in the machine. But I mean, people who work with this day in and day out are like, fucking, I don't know, man. I ran fucking Avast and it's fucking not working. I'm just calling a witch. I gotta call a witch because my fucking Steam account isn't working.
And I think you're right because it's her claims. It's not anything else other than her claims. It doesn't look like, I mean, maybe the article that it links to has something else, but in this article, it seems to be quoting only her.
Right, and she says most people want me to protect their computers from viruses and hacks, so I'll make charms for them. I like to use Flora. She's fucking rubbing like sage and shit around people's computer. People's fucking, you know, like it's funny, but like people have expensive equipment that's not working properly, or they're worried about like safeguarding their personal identity from malware and shit. And she's like, I fucking stuck a rosemary twig in your CD drive. Are you kidding?
Oh, that's like, amazing.
Like you show up to like a real tech expert shows up and it's just like fucking like a bouquet sticking out of all the USB ports. It looks like a funeral arrangement.
I mean, I'll let her do this. I'll let her come to my house and get rid of a virus this way. But if it doesn't work, I want a fucking burner.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
That's, those are the choices.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
If when we finish it up, you know, it doesn't work out, then you're on the stake.
So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Like we said last time, it's our great hope to have a midweek episode on the 13th that may or may not go through. We can't foresee into the future. We're hoping that that will be the case. And we will definitely be back on the 17th. So possibility of the 13th, but definitely on the 17th. And we are looking to record actually with Bobby C. and Miss Ashley very soon from No Religion Required. We're going to have them on the show, and we're going to get a little Southern, maybe make some biscuits and gravy.
Might y'all a little bit. You never know.
Say y'all, introduce them to Hillbilly God, and see how things go. It should be a lot of fun, actually. They're great people. We had such a good time with them at ReasonCon, so we were excited to have them on our show. It's a mid-August thing, so we're hoping that it's going to be happening relatively soon from when this show is published. So look forward to that. But that's going to be it, and we're going to enjoy our break, and we hope you enjoy these shows. So we're going to leave you, like we always do, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.
So I got a new bed. It's a brand new bed from Sleepy's mattresses on Roosevelt.
I feel like you can trust Sleepy's.
I mean, it's the dumbest name I've ever heard.
I think it's a great name.
It's a terrible name.
No, you're wrong.
But
the dumbest name is the Mattress Giant.
Because
the Mattress Giant, like, doesn't even make sense. Like, why do you need to be oversized in order to sell me a mattress? I mean, it's America,
okay.
But still.
All right, you win. You win. I concede the point. Mattress Giant is dumber than Sleepy's. You're right.
It's catchier than the Mattress Dwarfs.
Mattress Dwarfs. The Mattress Dwarfs, you get to go in and throw them on the mattresses. You get to toss them.
Toss them.
You get to toss them around. You just walk in and it's hobbits bouncing on beds.
Oh, so it's at least 45 minutes to buy a bed.
Exactly,
then.
And it's the end of the whole thing. Three towers.
Mattress
or
midgets, if you wanted alliteration.
What is it? The Three Towers, is that what the one's? Whatever. In any case, So
God, guys. You don't even know. The Two Towers was the middle movie. The last one is Return of the Goddamn Kings.
It's the Fellowship of the Kings. All right, so in any case.
And my axe.
You broke your axe. It's like 30 seconds
you
ago.
You smashed that fucking thing. Yeah, no, he totally did. Like, it's awesome. They should have put it in the wrong. They put it in the wrong order. They should have had it totally set up the wrong way. So I ordered from Sleepy's, and they first they're 30 minutes late, right? So like they're 30
that
minutes
makes you
late.
Mad.
Whatever, you know.
It makes you mad. I know. I've known you for 20 years. Makes you mad.
Made me a little mad.
That's why I made this story.
A guy calls me on the phone, and he's like, "Yeah, I need to deliver this mattress." I was like, "You got to come onto the side entrance because I have two. I have a cross street where I live, and you got to come around to the entrance where I, you know, on the one side street, right. Not on the main street. My address is one street, but the fucking dock for my building is on the other street."
Right.
He's like, "Okay, no problem." So I come outside, and I walk outside because I'm waiting for them to show up. And they have pulled along the side street. And they're not backing up into the dock like you should. Where they have a straight truck, they could easily just back up right into the dock. Oh, no.
We've backed up into that dock and moving stuff.
Fucking parked right on the middle of the street. I'm not shitting you. Parked right on the street. And this is a fucking this corner where I live. There's a daycare that lets out. There's construction sites all over, so all the fucking construction guys. So at 3 o'clock, it's getting gum in your hair out. That's how it is to get your car out of there.
You're just rubbing mayonnaise.
It's like, you're like fucking. You're just like, no. You know what? You know what it is? Is you get to your car at 3:30 by my place, and you fall asleep until 6 o'clock, and then you can leave. When you can leave.
Dude, they were sleepies.
Oh my gosh! They should have just crawled
planned ahead.
They crawled into the mattress king back there, mattress giant. But in any case, they park on the street, and then they just leave their car there for 25 minutes while they put my mattress together. I could
what?
Not. I was blown away. But the thing is, like, I'm like a I don't think I'm a rude person. So when I would never consider blocking the street for that long. It would be like I would run up and be like, "Sarah, meet me downstairs. I'm gonna run in real quick and just do this thing, and then I'm gonna run back out and run out as fast." Because I would be like, I would hate to inconvenience another human being. It would just be like, whenever I'm in the store and I'm walking down, I don't fucking leave my cart in the middle of the aisle. I always pull it over as tight as I can to the wall. And if I see somebody even looking at what I'm looking at, I'll push it 10 feet down the fucking thing just so I'm not in somebody else's way. Because I think it's rude to be like, "Fucking here I am standing here," and they're like fucking standing there with their fucking hand on their dick, and the fucking goddamn cart is sideways in the fucking aisle. And you're like, "Your cart is sideways.
Look at me taking up space. I take up all the space.
What are you doing?" It just drives me insane. So I would never want to put anybody else through that, right? It's just fucking rude. But this guy's, they're just like, "Whatever, motherfucker," and they just got down. They carry the dock. The fucking mattresses from the top of the fucking back of the fucking truck. Then they hand carry it in. Then they have to lift it up. And it's not a fucking light box spring. They're like, like fucking all bricked out and like trying to put it up there. And they can't lift
it. Was this their first day at fucking Sleepy's delivery school or whatever?
Yeah, they just got fired from Mattress Giant. So. I couldn't. It was just crazy. It was and then they came up and fixed it all. But when they come up. And they start working on it in the fucking – in the place, right? So they're working on it, and they take my old shit out, and they put it in a hall. Well, it's a mattress and a box spring, so there's a tiny little way to go.
Yeah.
Then they unbox the fucking thing, and they throw the box in the hall. They literally blocked my hall off. Like, the whole hall was blocked off.
This is their M.O., dude. It's just what they do.
And I'm just thinking, these dudes are total douchebags. This is the asshole in Jewel with his cart in the wrong fucking way.
Can you imagine being at a bar with these guys? They'd be the fucking biggest cock blockers in the world, right?
Oh, my
right?
God. Yeah.
Because they're clearly just, they don't give a fuck what they're in the way of. They're like, you're like, I'm trying to work an angle
here.
Hey,
bro,
like,
bro.
"Hey, let me hang out with you, bro. You see the fucking Blackhawks game? Woo!" Dude. You know, I'm like, I'm close to, you know, closing the deal.
It's like,
"Yeah, dude, let's get some fucking drinks. Me and you, brother. What? Okay.
No, even better. He's like, "Hold on, I'll handle this." And he turns, looks at the girl, is like, "Can I speak to you about Jesus Christ?" That scares them all away.
Oh,
it's nothing like a boner killer than fucking like being at the club and have a fucking Jehovah's Witness come talk to you or something.
God. So, how many tickets do they get on their
show? I don't give a fuck.
I know.
Don't
that's
give
probably
a fuck.
Why they don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck. I do tip those guys. Do you tip those guys, like delivery guys?
I don't know because I hate to say this, but I'm never home when they deliver.
I see.
Colleen's always home.
Probably. She's not cheap. You are.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know that it would occur to me to tip them.
I tip all the delivery guys.
I should tip. I should like call people back. I feel like I feel bad.
I over tip though, because I tip the guys.
Well, you can't tip them 20%.
I tipped them like $40 today.
Okay.
I don't know if that's over or under. I figure a $20 a piece for 20 minutes of work. Like, it's not really that much work.
I actually had no idea.
I tip delivery guys all the time. What is the protocol on that? I don't know.
Do you tip like the Comcast guy?
You know what's crazy is all the people in Europe are like, oh my God, you Americans, what are you tipping for? Why do you tip the guys? You just pay them their money that you owe them.
Because nobody gets paid here for anything. That's why you do it. Well,
I know a lot of Europeans hate our tipping system. They absolutely loathe. And I got to be honest, our tipping system sucks.
It super sucks.
But that does not mean that you should do a fucking individual protest of our fucking tipping system.
I totally agree. Like
you can hate it and you can fucking bitch about it. But I'll tell you what,
until it changes,
don't be a dick, man. Because right. I used to work, I used to wait tables. That's a fucking shitty job, and it doesn't pay fuck all.
No, I feel like if you can't afford to tip 20%, you can't afford to eat out.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean,
I'm not with you.
If you sit down at the table, I don't care what you're eating. If you can't add 20% to your bill at the end of that, then sorry, you couldn't afford the fucking meal. Yeah.
And I know that there's people out there who are like, well, I only tip for 20% for outstanding service and 10% the rest of the time. It's like, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, like you have your own standards, your own ideas on what you want to do. That's fine. But the people who tip like fucking a dollar on like $100 meal or something, you're a douche.
That shit's embarrassing. I was having dinner or lunch with a coworker the other day, and he was talking about his father-in-law, and his father-in-law is a fucking giant cheapskate with tipping. And so every time they go out, he's like, it's super embarrassing, but I have to wait for my father-in-law to get up and like go to the can or something. And then I slip money in the thing, or like, I'll have to go find the waiter. I'll pretend I left my coat. And he's like, I go back and I find the waiter and I give him money, because my father-in-law will never tip, but he always insists on paying. But then he doesn't tip like anything.
I went out a long time ago with a group of friends, and it's funny because one of the people who I went out with is actually a friend of the show, like a guy who's been with us since the beginning. And this is years ago. He and I used to work together, and my buddy Moltz and I. And Moltz was covering me that night. I didn't have the money. I didn't stop at a cash station or whatever it was,
whatever.
And I didn't have the money. And he was covering me that night. So he had me, it was like $20 he was going to give me or whatever for food. And we were like Denny's, you know?
Right.
And we had a table of like 10 people, you know, a fucking huge table.
See, that's the worst, because someone's going to fuck over someone.
And everybody's paying here and there. And Moltz throws in for me, but Moltz is, you know, at this point he's out of money. You know, he throws in for me, whatever. And then they start pulling money out from the tip, and they're going to leave on like 10 people. They were going to leave like $6.
Fuck you.
And I said, are you kidding? Like, why are you doing this? And the one girl at one point, she's like, she doesn't deserve that much money. I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, I can't believe you guys are not going to tip. And she's like, stop trying to impress me with how much you would tip. And I was just like, sweetheart.
What?
Here's the thing.
First of all.
Here's the thing. There's no way I can impress you when a friend of mine bought me dinner. Right?
I was going to say too, like, if I impress you with just the tip.
That has never happened in my entire life.
Then you have lower standards than I thought.
Jesus, yeah. I can barely impress women with my fist. Are you kidding me? I just remember that night. I was so mortified that the person had to take such a low amount of money, and they had to work on us for four. Like, and they worked on us for a long time. They're giving us drinks and drinks and drinks and just being. I just couldn't believe that somebody would
do
something.
Were you ever an asshole when you were young about tipping?
Never, never. I was always. You see, because what cured me of that is I was a pizza delivery guy at a very young age, and when you're a pizza delivery guy, you recognize that, you know, you're not making fuck all at those places. I was making well below minimum wage. And then I was subsidized by the tips that I got.
That's why Europe hates us for this. Because it's impossible to understand.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, they get paid less than minimum wage, and then we just hope that they get enough money and tips that it makes up for.
It was such a small amount of money, I used to cheat the company. And I'm not a guy who's known as like I don't do this ever.
For people that don't know Cecil personally, Cecil won't like – if there's a sign, it could be like 3 a.m. and there's not been a car on the road in 3 hours. And if there's a sign that says like no left turn, like And Cecil and I are driving. I'm like, I'm fucking turning left. I'll do U-turns. I'll fucking get out of the car and push it. I don't give a fuck. And Cecil's like, it's his right turn only.
Yeah, I
like,
got a right turn. Yeah.
That's just, it's in your nature.
I remember there was a while back when they accidentally gave me a subwoofer for free. I don't know if you remember this. And I wanted to return it, and you told me that I couldn't. Like, you made me get in the car.
Get in the car.
And I was like, no, they gave me an accidental subwoofer. And you're like, they did not. They gave me a subwoofer. But in any case, years ago, I worked at the pizza place that paid us an absolute pittance, an absolute pittance. And then what they wound up doing was they wound up taking that and they wound up like it was also the cheapest pizza place in town. So I never got any tips. So I would never get any tips. Right. And then they never gave us any money. So the only the only way you could make money. And I mean, I tried for months and months and months at a time to try to make money at this job. And it was. I'm telling you, I made like $4 to $5 an hour at this place. And it was the minimum wage at that point was like $6.50. But you could not make the money. There's no way you can make the money. So so my buddy was always pulling in fucking fat cash. He was pulling in money every night. And I was like, how are you making so much money? You're at the places at the same amount of time. You show up with the same pizzas. The person who's making the pizza, it's not like you're getting there any faster.
He's delivering weed in the pizza. That's what he's doing.
He was clipping fucking coupons out of the paper, and everybody had the coupon.
It was worth a dollar
to me, but it was worth nothing to the person. So what I did was anybody who didn't give me the coupon, I just went to my car and I tore out five or six coupons, and I would make five or six extra dollars or more than that. Most of the time I would turn in like 8 or 10 of them, and I would make extra money at the end of the night. So I would have like, you know, enough money to fucking fill my car up, because the money that you would make when you order the cheapest pizza in the city, nobody tips.
Right.
Nobody tips.
That's because you're getting fucking consolation prize pie.
I remember walking up to one place and I was like, yeah, it's $15.97. And the person's like, here's 16. Keep the change.
Fuck you. 3 cents.
And I was like, oh, okay.
I was not
Mom
going to make change.
Is totally going to be able to get that operation that she needed. 3 cents, bro. You know, you want to high five him. Be like, high five, dude.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then the other thing, I wound up going up one time, and it was 16.04 or something like that. And the guy gave me a 20, and I pull out 1, 2, 3, 4. And I give him back 4, and I was like, here you go, expecting maybe he'll give me a dollar, you know? And he's like, and he looks at me, he's like, oh, thanks. He's like, hold on a second. And he reaches in his pocket, and he counts out 4 pennies, and he's like, there you go. And I was like, thanks. And I threw him over my shoulder. I was like, thanks, buddy. And I just walked away. I was like, nah.
I got fired from a job for being an asshole to a pizza person once.
Really?
Yeah, my very first job. I was 13 years old. And I was it wasn't really a job because I was 13, so I was younger than you could have a job. But I was delivering flyers for a pizza company. So, and admittedly, me and my buddy would deliver we'd get like a thing of like 2,000 flyers, and we got paid like 10 cents a flyer.
So you'd deliver like 20 of them, and then you'd just throw them in the creek. Exactly, I know exactly what you did. Yes.
Yeah. So we didn't deliver a lot.
There was a shopper paper in my neighborhood that everybody did that to.
Yeah.
They never could get anybody to deliver it.
Yeah. We would deliver them for like an hour or two, and then we'd get bored and just throw them in some – like we would always plan our delivery days on garbage day, because you didn't even have to throw them in a creek or anything. You just throw them in somebody's garbage can.
And who cares?
Yeah. The road,
some guy's like, fucking pizza delivery guy must live here or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but we'd get one of the – we would also get free pizzas from the pizza place. We got a thing for like a free pizza a month or something. We didn't have any money because we're fucking idiots and we're 13, and we thought we were fucking cool because we had like jobs and we were 13. It was me and my idiot buddy Dave. And so like we got our free pizza. We had nothing, and we like scraped together like some fucking couch cushion change, and we gave it to her, and I thought I was being clever, and I'm like, buy yourself something nice. And the fucking owner of that place called up, fucking ripped me up one side and down the other side and fired the both of us. It's the second twice in my life being an asshole I've gotten me and a buddy fired.
Twice?
I got fired from a Burger King for being a smart ass.
Did you?
Yeah.
Didn't you work there for a long time though?
I worked there for like 3 years.
That's an eternity when you're that age.
Right?
When you're that age, that's like somebody retiring at a job. When you work 3 years as a teen at a place,
right?
You
They should. You should get a pen after your second year. Like you should get a Timex watch or something.
Burger shaped watch.
Tell you what, you should. It's the turnover rate. Not only at a fast food place, but also at that age. I remember I worked 3 weeks at a McDonald's.
3 whole weeks.
3 weeks.
American weeks.
Felt like an eternity. I wound up one day. I had long hair at the time, so I had long hair that was in my. And yeah. I used to have to tuck it in my hat. They wanted us to tuck the hair in the hat. Well, my buddy was working the grill, and I was working in back. And I remember at one point, they bring back the cinnamon rolls. They're going to throw them out.
Yeah.
And they're going to throw them out anyway. And the guy's like, this one old guy who's like an old timer, like fucking retiree who's working there. He's like, shame they're going to throw them out. He's like, you should eat one. And I was like, fucking hey, I'm hungry and I'm a kid. Sure, I'll eat one. So I reach in and grab one. And this manager comes up and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm eating a cinnamon roll. She's like, you can't eat any of the food. And I was like, but we're going to throw it away. It's garbage. She's like, you can't eat it, man. Like her fucking eyeballs came out. She screamed at me. She's like, you do that again in front. I was like, okay, fine. And so.
Wait, she fired
you? No, like two weeks later. This is like my third day on the job. I do this. 2 weeks later, I'm working the salad area, you know, in the back, just doing the work. And my buddy's up by the grill and he's doing his grilling stuff. And the boss comes up to him. The owner of the place comes by to him and he's got his ponytail tucked down his back of his shirt. So it's just his hat and then a little tiny strip and then it's down the back of his shirt. The hat he has is way too small to fit all of his. He had long hair. So did I. It was, you know, mid back, maybe longer. Yeah. It was tucked up into his hat. If he tried to do that, it would not fit on his head, even at the tightest thing. He's like, there's nothing he could do. So he had to tuck it back. So the guy comes back and says, you got to put your hair in your hat. And he says, I can't put my hair in the hat. He's like, you got to put your hair in your hat or you leave. And my buddy's like, well, fuck you then. And he turns around, he walks over. He's like, I just quit. And I was like, cool, I quit too. And then we walked out and left out. It was awesome.
Dude, that's
you got fired though from Burger King.
I got fired, and I got my buddy fired.
Aww.
And this was a place.
Is it the same guy who delivered flyers with you?
No. No, but like this was a place where you couldn't do. There were no rules at this Burger King. It was a fucking free for all. I was managed by teenagers.
Yeah, and it's like Kitchen Confidential. People banging in the fucking storeroom.
That's
the
thing. It's like you could do literally anything. We had fireworks displays on the roof. We'd You know, like the managers wouldn't show up. We'd climb onto the roof, climb down through the trap door, and me and my buddy would open the store because we thought it was funny. We'd break into the office by climbing over the drywall, like the ceiling.
Holy shit!
We would open the place in the middle of the night because we thought it was funny. Like just like 2 a.m, we'd be like, "Let's open the Burger King," and we'd open it and run it for an hour or two, and then close it back down, just because we could. I mean, we did fucking everything.
That sounds illegal, actually.
Everything we did was illegal. I mean, like. It was. I threw a kid in the dumpster and like locked him in the dumpster. We set the dumpster on fire. I mean,
wait, was he on fire before you threw him in?
No, the two separate. Okay, two separate. It was amazing. It was so much fun. It was a total madhouse. And then, but I was dating this girl who was friends with the manager, and I was fucking shitty to her, and so she fired me and my buddy.
Well, there you go.
That was it.
That's it. Like, you're shitty to her.
Like, all right, well. I guess so. Being an asshole, it turns out, has not worked. I've gotten two people fired.
I quit UPS too.
Take that UPS.
One night, I only worked there for a couple weeks.
Get a job and quit right now.
I was only working there for a couple weeks, but I wound up. I was working there, and I was unloading trucks because you have two. There's two jobs in UPS at the startup.
Guess. Load and unload.
That's it.
Nailed it.
Everybody gets a load. Everybody who starts gets a load. So you have to learn how to load a truck. That's what you do. Load a truck. Well, when I came in, I was like, I don't want to load a truck. I was like, I don't want to do this. I was like, I just want to unload. And the guy's like, okay, but you got to come back in like 4 weeks because we're not doing that for a while. We don't need anybody who runs in that cycle for a while. I was like, okay, that's fine. And I just didn't come back because I had another full-time job during the day. And I was only going to work the four-hour shift at night and then go home. And I was going to do it the 4 days a week, 5 days a week that I needed to do it, whatever. My buddy was going to pick me up at work every day, and it was totally going to work out.
Yeah.
I show up at work several days in a row, you know, work. And I'm working, you know, hard, whatever. And then I got sick. And I got really sick, like, you know, feverish sick, where you're really sick. But I didn't take the day off. I came into work. I was like, I'm feeling sick, but I'm coming to work. And I walk up, and the guy's like, I start to move, and I'm moving a little slow. I'm drinking some Gatorade to try to stay hydrated. I'm trying to move in a little slow.
Yeah, right.
And the guy comes up. He's like, hey, man, you got to speed it up. Let's go. And I was like, I'm feeling a little sick tonight, Juan. I'm sorry. He's like, I don't care. He's like, get moving. He's like, you need to move. He's like, I don't care what you feel like. And I was like, I do. And he's like, I don't get to work. And I said, I'll move as fast as I can. And he leaves and he comes back 10 minutes later. He's like, you're still moving super slow. He's like, you got to get going. I was like, Juan, don't push me, man. I was like, I can't go any faster. And he's like,
He's like, man, he's like, either you go faster or you don't work. And I was like, well, okay, I'll just not work.
Yeah, peace.
And I start to walk away. He's like, are you quitting on me? And I was like, yeah, I'm quitting. He's like, I was like, isn't that what you wanted me to do just a few minutes ago? He's like, you can't just walk out on the job. And I was like, no, I can. You're going to see me do it right now. I was like, you're literally going to watch me do this. I was like, this may be a brand new experience for you. I was like, so just enjoy it. And I start walking away. And he's like, man, that's fucked up, Cecil. And I was like, the world is fucked up. And then I punched out and I walked the fuck out of there. And I sat in a car for 2.5 hours until my buddy got off work. I didn't even try to finish out the shift. I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Just sick. Why bother? Fuck off. It was an extra job that I didn't need. And I was like, sorry, I'm gone.
Dude, there's nothing. Like, it's so easy to quit an extra job. Yeah. I took a second job working mornings at a Borders Books once.
Oh, yeah?
Because, you know, times were getting a little rough. And I'm like, oh, I could use a little bit of extra income. So sure. I took a job working from like 6 to 8. And then I would go in and work from, you know, my regular like 9 to whatever at the other job. And when I didn't need that job anymore, I was just like, well, I'm not waking up at 5 in the morning to go to this job anymore.
Yeah.
So I just was like, yeah, I'm not working here anymore. I'd sleep there too all the time. Like, I would just fall
would you
asleep.
Really?
I wouldn't even do it intentionally. I'd just be sitting there like, dude, I don't care who you are. 6 in the morning, fucking shelving books. The store is dead quiet.
You could be a librarian who gets a hard-on from the Dewey Decimal System.
Right. You're just like alphabetizing. Like,
yeah.
And you know, I would just sit. I'd be sitting on that little stool, and I'd be like, I've got this pile of books, and all I'm doing is shelving and alphabetizing.
Oh.
And I would just drift off.
I don't blame you one bit. Because
like,
I'll tell
I
you
did
what.
Like a lot.
When I have insomnia, what I think about is shelving books.